This morning, I'm as sure as I know I'm standing here that I am preaching what God has laid upon my heart. It is not going to be an easy message for me personally, because I usually don't get into some of these things in this much detail. But I believe we are at the crossroads of some very pivotal things in our life and our country. For those of us that were in Sunday school this morning, Brother Gallagher did an excellent job talking about some of the same things. And the Sunday school lesson fell right in line, sort of like a preview or a preface to a book. Wednesday morning, I woke up, and to say the least, Tuesday did not go the way I wanted it to. And that doesn't matter to me. Who knows how I feel? And I woke up Wednesday morning. The first thing that came to my mind is what I'm titling the message. It's a little statement that I have not heard in over 40 years. It's something that I heard when I was in, I guess, grade school, maybe early high school. And who thinks of things in high school after you get out? But Wednesday morning when I woke up, the thought came to my mind, the die is cast. Now, if anybody has studied history, you know a little bit about that statement. Someone might say that's a strange title to a message. I hope when we get finished that it won't be so strange a statement. The history of that phrase is a statement made by Julius Caesar, January the 10th, 49 B.C. As he was getting ready to cross a little stream, or what was called a river, there was a small stream called the Rubicon. And as he crossed the line from the country of Gaul and goes into what was old ancient Italy, he set in motion the beginning of the Civil War that resulted in the formation and the establishment of the Roman Empire. And when he put his horse's foot in that river, he made the statement, the die is cast. Now, some people have mistakenly thought that he meant the dice has been thrown. If we're lucky, we'll win. But that is not the wording, and that's not the translation that is given. The word the die is cast simply means there is no turning back. There is no turning around and going any other direction because the die is cast. The decision has been made, and the results of that decision will be irreversible. When he led his men across that stream, he made that statement, realizing and knowing that history was going to be made one way or the other. We've heard that little phrase, die-cast metal. That's where that comes from. Some of our children, we have little cars that are die-cast metal. We have some of us bigger children have the bigger cars that are die-cast metal. And that's what it means. The metal has been cast and it's been put in a mold, and it's molded to what it's intended, and it cannot be altered. And so it's the reaching of the point of no return. Now, I have never been a preacher of doom and gloom, and I think you know that. And I'm going to try not to make this one a message of doom and gloom, but it's going to be a little bit more difficult to do. This past Tuesday, I believe America made probably the most important decision as a nation that it's ever made. And I believe the die has been cast. Now, this is my personal thoughts, and you can like them or not like them. Just try to stay with me in the Scripture. And so from Wednesday morning until even this morning, and even sitting here a moment ago, I wanted to make sure this is what God wanted. Because I take very seriously standing behind this desk and preaching a message that people will hear, and the possibility of many more hearing it through our website. Wednesday night I had some thoughts on the subject, but I wasn't really comfortable with that. But I was going to preach it, but the Lord took care of that. We didn't even have Wednesday night service because right after the last song was sung, we heard and got the message over the phone that we needed to evacuate the building. There's a gas leak just across the road. So that took care of that message. No, that message is in this one too. That's why I said we'll get done when we get done. I'll try my best. But today I want to give us some facts and some biblical evidences that I believe we can state the die has been cast. The decision has been made, right or wrong, good or bad. The decision has been made by the majority of the nation and the majority of the people of this country. And don't get me wrong, I believe we live in the greatest country on the face of God's earth. I believe we have the rights and the freedoms to express our opinion. And I can stand behind this pulpit this morning and state these things and not fear and not worry about what somebody might do or say. Because the day that we are celebrating in the Veterans Day, they have given us and protected that right to us all these many years. But I want to give us some facts and to show that possibly the die has been cast and the decision has been made and it is unalterable, it will not change. And there are many things that will take place. America literally has made her choice. I only have 3 points. I want to give you, first of all, some excruciating facts. You know what excruciating means? It means painful, and facts that gives us anguish. Then I want to give you some events from history. Then I want to show you some evidences of our future. And this morning, I pray the Lord will help us and to understand. America has made a statement to the world, and more importantly, America has made a statement to God. The world loves it and applauds it, and they welcome our decision. I read this morning that there were literally thousands of people around the world that were dancing in the streets because of the results of the election, and most of them were Islamic people. The world may love our decision, but I believe the Lord loathes and is weary with our decision. And the difficulty arises from here. Look with me, if you would, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 29. We're going to be doing a Bible study along with everything else. We're going to be turning to a number of verses, and I'll try to make this as quick as possible and easy as possible for you to follow along. The book of Proverbs, chapter 29, and verse number 2. Proverbs 29 and verse 2 says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn." You cannot argue with that fact. We cannot argue with the Word of God to begin with, but you can't argue with the fact in our own personal lives and our own personal history. When righteous, Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, people rejoice. And then the second stanza says, "But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn." Sorrowful, mourning spirits and hard decisions and hard problems. Look with me to the book of Daniel, chapter number 11, and verse number 32. Daniel chapter 11, verse number 32. "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong." Well, I like that. Some are built up by flatteries, but the people that know their God, they shall be made strong. Look at verse number 33. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame and by captivity and by spoil many days. So there are those that are given strength by the Lord and they're able to instruct, but that does not mean there will not be difficulties. It does not mean there will not be problems, because the Scripture says here, they'll fall by the sword and the flame and captivity and spoil. Verse 34. Now when they shall fall, they shall be holden with little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. Look in the book. Just turn over a few pages. You'll come to a little book called Hosea, chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse number 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Notice why. Because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beast of the field and with the fowl of the air. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Well, that's some strong words there. The land shall mourn. It's a terrible thing for us to realize and for us to hear the words that God gave to Israel, that the Lord has a controversy with us. And I believe when we disavow God and His Word, the Lord has a controversy with us. And I've got news for you. He's going to win. He has a controversy with people that are guilty of these things, and therefore the land shall mourn. Look at verse number 6 of the same chapter. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. And they were increased, and they sinned against me. Therefore, will I change their glory into shame. These are words that pop out at me like words with a flashing light. As I looked at these verses and I thought of these things, what terrible facts that God gives us that He gave to His people Israel. God's not talking about some heathen nation. He's talking about His people. He's not talking about the Canaanites and the Amorites and all those that hated Him. He's talking to Israel, His chosen people that had worshipped Him for century after century after century. And God says, now I've got a controversy with you because you have no knowledge. I've got a controversy with you because you've rejected knowledge and you've taken up swearing and lying and killing and stealing and blood touching blood, that's murder. God says, I have a problem with you because of that. And He said, therefore, I will forget thy children. I'm so far down the road now in the age, it's not going to bother me a whole lot, but there's some young people in here today that's going to be bothered by the problems that we have in our country. Nikita Khrushchev said in 1959, he said, America is so gullible and so, really he would say stupid, that they would put so much socialism on us little by little that one day we would wake up and realize that we were living in a land of nothing more than communism. I remember that statement being made in the talk of the people and the preachers that made message along that line, how that we were, surely he was wrong. I'll tell you what, surely he was right. He said, your children's children shall wake up and understand where they are in history. And God says, I will change their glory into shame. Someone asked the question, does God judge a nation for its action? I believe we're going to find out that He does. As Brother Gallagher said this morning, not all of America is wicked. Not all of America has gone against God. But we suffer because of the sins of our nation. I've been told time and time again they did not believe that God would judge a people because of their sin. Well, I dare say, go ask Daniel if God would do that. Go ask those three Hebrews that were found themselves in the fiery furnace. Does God bother good people? I believe we find out that God does. That was the cream of the crop in Israel, and they're taken out of their land of Israel and carried away captive to Babylonian captivity, and they were there many, many years because of the sin that we've read about here this morning. Here's some excruciating facts. Hard. For the first time in American history, we did not have a person that at least identified with Protestant Christianity. Think about it. We didn't have a choice, really. The two vice presidents and the two presidential candidates, they are not identified with Protestantism. That's the first time in the history of our country. Now, I don't consider Protestantism very important, but it is important in the scheme of things when we see the people that are brought before us that we elect. We re-elected a man that has been proven anti-God and anti-Bible. Well, I don't like for you to say that about our president. I'm sorry. That's what he has proven. The old saying is, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. We have a past record. We don't have what we think it would be. We have what it is. He is openly for all types of abortion. That's anti-God. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. He is openly against Christian marriage. And he will not support a law that does. And he has come out for same-sex marriage. He openly is a supporter of the sodomite crowd. That is anti-God. Well, it doesn't matter what the Bible says. We're living in a different age. It does matter what this book says. And God says it's wrong. And I don't even have to go to Romans chapter 1 to find that. I can go back to the book of Leviticus when God says that mankind shall not lay with mankind. Man shall not lay with man as he does with womanhood. Leviticus 18, Leviticus 20. If you don't believe me, read it. Is it the Word of God? Yes, it is. Do we believe it? He is a fervent supporter of homosexual marriage. Within hours of becoming president 4 years ago, he announced on the White House website the following civil rights objectives of his presidency. This came off of their website. Number one. Support full civil unions and federal rights for LGBT, that's lesbians, gays, bi, and transsexuals. He supports full civil unions that give them the legal rights as the same as a married couple. And he believes we need to repeal the Defense of Marriage Act. That's what he said 4 years ago. Number two, he is opposed to a constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriage. Well, of course, if he believes what we just read, he would be against that. He voted against the federal marriage amendment in 2006 when he was a senator. These are excruciating facts. He expands abortion rights. He believes that we must ensure adoption rights for all couples, individuals, regardless of their sexual orientation. He thinks that a child will benefit from a healthy, loving home, whether the parents are gay or not. Those are facts. In an interview of 2004, speaking about heaven, he said, "There are many ways to the same place." No, there's not. Jesus said, "I am the way." And that little article, "the," means the only way. According to his own autobiography, all of his early childhood years were influenced by Islam. His middle name, by choice, is a reference to Muhammad's grandson, Hussein. So we have that as our president. Second time around. Buddy, we haven't seen anything yet. In our Congress, we have a congressman that was sworn into office with his hand on the Koran. That's an excruciating fact to me. It's a painful fact. I have here, I think I can get it back up. On my phone, I have an article, November the 8th, this year, in Phoenix, Arizona. There was a family, husband, wife. They were both given 2 years probation, no jail time, because the problem was they took their daughter, who had been promised in marriage to a 38-year-old man, and she refused. She did not want to do that. And she was seen talking to a young boy at her high school. And so this Islamic family, mother and father, took her and beat her and had a spoon heated with fire and put all over her face and her chest. Her father tried to slit her throat. And they get 2 years probation because of Sharia law. America is running scared this morning of what they will do. When wickedness is in authority, the people mourn. This past Tuesday, I'm trying to lay the groundwork now to show you that I believe the die has been cast. Wisconsin elected the first openly sodomite to the Senate by beating one of the most popular governors of the state of Wisconsin, Tommy Thompson. First time ever. Tammy Baldwin's her name. Avowed homosexual. So you know how she's going to vote? She's not going to vote righteousness. You can be assured of that. I have a little news article here. It says Baldwin was one of the many successful gay and lesbian candidates in local and state races this election cycle, which also included her successor in her legislative district of Madison, Representative Mark Pocan. At least 118 gay and lesbian candidates won their races as of Wednesday. And you tell me we're not in trouble? To the states of Maine and Maryland on Tuesday, by popular vote, first time it's ever been by popular vote, they made sodomite marriage legal. The dominoes will begin to fall. The states of Washington and Colorado made it legal to purchase recreational marijuana. The die has been set and has been cast. America literally has gone crazy
because of her sinfulness. When the ravaged Northeast, New York, when the one of the officials,
I don't know if it's mayor or governor, one of the officials will not let certain food items come in to their places that need food because they can't regulate the salt content. Buddy, we're crazy.
If I was that crowd as hungry, I'd make sure I got my food from wherever they put it.
They can't even go pick up. Like if we made up food and sent to them, it would never be distributed to them because they can't regulate how much fat content, how much salt content, all that stuff. That crowd ought to go hungry themselves. See what they'll eat. They sit in their high places and they eat what they want to eat.
America has gone crazy.
No, America has gone sinful. That's the problem.
There's a lot of evidences in the Scripture that show us the die is cast. Here's some events from the past. Go all the way back. When Adam took that fruit and he partook of it, there was no turning back. When he fell in sin against God, there was no way of taking it back. The die is cast. And we're suffering for it this morning because it set in motion what we know of as a sinful nature. Man became a sinner by choice. Man today is a sinner by choice. Man became a sinner by nature. Man today is a sinner by nature. Adam became a sinner by his actions. Man is a sinner today because of his actions. It's irreversible. Time and again, Israel sinned against God. And God delivered them into the hands of the enemy. Turn, if you would, with me to the book of Judges, chapter 13. Judges, chapter 13. This is the verse that really got it all started 2 weeks ago. When I heard Brother Gallagher read this, I thought, my goodness. And the children of Israel did evil again. Notice that. Again. In the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines. How many years? 40 years. Who did it? God did. Why? Because they rebelled against God again. Does God judge a nation because of sin? Sure He does. When Israel wanted a king, they said, give us a king so we can be like everybody else. In 1 Samuel, we have those verses. 1 Samuel chapter number 7. I don't have these marked, so it'll take me a minute to get them. I couldn't mark them all. It's 1 Samuel chapter 8. Verse 5 says, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel. He cried, when they cried, give us a king, judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice. Oh, God says, give them what they want. Give them what they desire. Samuel was displeased at it because he knew it was wrong. God says, Samuel, give them. Hearken to their voice of the people and all they which they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected who? Me. According to all the works which they have done since the day that thou hast brought them out of Egypt unto this day wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods. And so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken
unto their voice. Howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of king that shall reign over them. Go ahead and give them what they want, but warn them what it's going to be. I've tried to do that for a while. God probably has given us what we wanted. Nevertheless, we ought to be listening to what kind of man he's going to be. And God goes out from verse on down to verse number 22. We'll not read them all, but from verse 6 or 7 on down through through the rest of the chapter, God says, here's the kind of man that they're going to have. You're going to take your women, going to take your wives, going to take your children, going to take your land, going to take your money, going to take it all. Because what's he going to do? He's going to build himself a kingdom. And a kingdom has to be paid for. Our kingdom is broke. God said, the die is cast, let them have it. Another incident. Israel's sin resulted in one of the most ungodly men that's ever lived and had anything to do in history by the name of Nebuchadnezzar capture the Jews because of their sin. No, Belshazzar had his party that night, but all of a sudden there's the hand of a man writing on the wall. Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. And he says, tonight, it's over. I heard a man preach one time on the subject, the party's over. You know what happened? They took the golden vessels out of the house of God that they'd taken out of Jerusalem and carried over to the Babylonian captivity, and they was drinking their wine, they was having their party, and all of a sudden God got their attention. You know what he said? Die's cast. It's over. That night, Belshazzar died and the kingdom was divided and was lost. Oh, but there's another side of the die is cast. There's three Hebrew men there that they would not alter their beliefs. They said, it doesn't matter what they tell, we're not going to bow, we're not going to bend, and they found out they wouldn't burn. They said, no, we're staying true. We're staying right. We're staying right by the Word of God. That's found in Daniel chapter 3. Oh, Daniel himself says he did as he did aforetime. He went to the window and he prayed unto the God of heaven as he had done all the other times. In his heart, it wasn't going to change. Pilate, that man that we identify as the man that gave the record or gave the choice to be able to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, what I have written, I have written. I'm not changing it. We have the little statement, the law of the Medes and the Persians. You know what that is? It altereth not, it changeth not. And we serve a God that says he altereth nor changeth not. Do we have a future? Oh, praise the Lord, we do. There's some evidences of the future for us. Look in Psalm number 11. In Psalm number 11, verse number 1 says, in the Lord put I my trust. How shall I say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, and they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. That's what they're doing. That's what they try. They bend their bow. They put their arrow in the string, and they shoot at us. Verse number 3 asks the question, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Bible gives a great distinction between righteousness and wickedness. Our text here shows the contrast. The question is asked,
what can the righteous do? When the foundations are destroyed, what are we going to be able to do? Foundations, that's politically, socially, morally, every other way. When those things are being destroyed and we are seeing them destroyed. I said 4 years ago that we are seeing the greatest nation upon the earth being little by little the foundation crumbling and taken out from under us. And the whole building now is tottering. You know what happens to a building when your foundation gets destroyed? It falls. When the foundation is destroyed, the word destroyed there means to break in pieces, to beat down, to overthrow with ruin, pull down. We're seeing that. I have three questions and we'll close. What will we do? This is what I'm going to preach Wednesday night. What will we do when we see these things happening? Number one, we will cry. We'll complain. But the sad part about it is that we will continue as we are. And I believe that. We'll cry about it and we'll complain about it, but we'll continue. We're not going to make any vast changes in our lifestyle. We're not going to change anything to make it different. I'm talking about nationally now. I'm talking about politically. We're not going to make any changes. That was proven. What will we do? We'll cry. We'll complain. And in a few weeks, we'll just go on about our merry business and say, well, I guess we can't do nothing about it. The die is cast. Second question is, what won't we do? As a nation, we will not, and I may be wrong, but I have not seen any evidences any different. We will not change our direction. We will not confess our sin, and we will not correct our errors. That's what we won't do. And then the last question is, what should we do? Or what can we do? Turn to Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2, verse number 5. Here the Lord is speaking to one of the seven churches of Asia. Message to the church of Ephesus, the church that was a result of the missionary work of the Apostle Paul. Time has gone on now, and he tells them down here in verse number 5, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Remember. That's what we should do. We should remember how it used to be. We should remember what it ought to be. We should remember how God intends for it to be. Remember, church, he says to Ephesus, from whence thou art fallen. And then he says, and repent. I don't hear much today about repentance, but I'll tell you what, America needs a national repentance. We can't have a national day of prayer anymore at the White House, but we need a national day of repentance in the church house and the home house. In all of our houses, we need a time that we turn from our wickedness and our sinfulness and turn to God once again. God said, if you don't do that, He said, I'm going to remove your candlestick. I'm going to remove your power. Do we believe the book or not? So we are to remember. We are to repent. Now look in Revelation chapter 3, verse 3. He tells them the same thing, only there's one word different here. Verse number 3, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast. There's that word repent again. Three things in those two passages that we are to do. We are to remember, we are to repent, and we are to receive those things that we know are true and hold them fast. Hold fast, Paul says, the profession of our faith. Hold fast those things that we know are true and righteous.
though foundations are being shaken. Today we're producing men who almost are totally ignorant of the Bible. And from the point of view of morality, the problem is not so much immorality, but is total absence of morality. Amorality. No morality at all. It's a tendency to doubt all types of moral standards. Someone goes too far to say that all those who acknowledge moral standards live an incomplete life and an injustice to themselves. Oh, you just haven't experienced life. Have you ever had somebody say you ought to get out and live a little bit? You don't hold back and just enjoy life. What they're saying is have no morality, many times. These people claim that what was once called sin is nothing more than self-expression. You ever heard that term? Just need to express yourself. Commercials and songs that say that. The old foundations are being shaken. The old boundaries and hedges are being swept away. From the point of view that claims of religion, problem are not that men are anti-religious. They're just ignorant of religion. They're ignorant. They don't think about it at all. I'll guarantee you, the biggest majority of people that we have elected in our state houses, our congresses, our national houses, our local places, for the most part, most of them don't even give God a thought. Not one idea. Another reason for the decline is the zeal and fervor that once showed the world religion. We've transferred it to the field of politics. That's become the most important thing. Have to be politically correct. That's the natural progression from the first thing. Man rather than God was placed on the middle of the stage. And man's the important thing. In that same interview in 2004, Mr. Obama said, they asked him what he believed about God. He said, "Well, I talk to him all the time. I talk to myself every day." Does that tell you anything? It's in print. After men lose their belief in another world, they stop thinking about man as a pilgrim traveling to a city whose builder and maker is God. It's easy to understand how they concentrate on their ideas that it's them that's important. And in their world, they replace the prophet with a politician. Those are words from Martin Lloyd-Jones in the book Knowing the Times. He died in the 70s. Born 1899. Great preacher. The die is cast. And I think we'll see the results of it in days to come. What did God do to Israel? Many times after they were in rebellion and had much, much trouble, God raised up some people that believed Him, and once again He blessed them. Can that happen? Yes, it can. Will it happen? I do not know. Because I believe we're so close to the precipice of crossing over, I don't know that that'll ever happen. I believe we're going home, and I believe we're going to hear the shout. I mean, I believe it's just over the hilltop. And the hilltop's facing us. I'm glad, thank God, I know I'm saved. There's not a thing anybody can do to me to harm me, to hurt me, to keep me from going to heaven. They may throw me in jail. They may put me in prison. They may tax me to death. They may destroy me, but they cannot destroy my hope I have in Jesus Christ and His righteousness. And if I go, I hope I go fighting. Me and Clarice have already decided we're going together. It's She put on her Facebook yesterday, said somebody just, they didn't like her, they took her off her Facebook. Larry told her she didn't be quiet, she's going to go be put in jail. She said, if I go, my preacher goes. I said, how did I get in that conversation? My preacher goes with me, and I put in there, let's go. No place to retreat, my friend. I believe we ought to cast the die in our hearts, and I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to stand on the book, and I'm going to stand where God stands. I believe we need to have that such a desire in our soul that everybody would know we believe what God says. It won't be popular. It won't be pleasant. It may not be great lights flashing for us, but I'll tell you what, I'd rather hear God say, well done, thou good, faithful servant, than anything else in this world. And may God help us. And if He doesn't help us, there is no help. But Jesus is coming soon. You know when the Lord comes? I believe He's going to be coming. I know He's coming for Israel when there's no hope. Read it in the book. I mean, they're pushed to the sea. Do you know there's dancing in the streets the other night? Because in the Middle East, because they said, Israel now will die. You know why? We don't care about Israel anymore. I can't repeat. I would not repeat the words that they said on let them die. And when Israel's pushed to the very extent, nowhere else to go, the Lord comes with 10,000 of His saints coming in the sky, and the world will look upon Him. And the Mount of Olives will cleave, and there'll be a valley made for their escape. Tell me God can't do it? Yes, He can. Not only can He will. And you and I may get to the same point. We may get pushed to the corner. We may get thrown back as far as we can go and say, what else is left? There's deliverance left. He's our Lord. I'd hate to be living in this world and not be a Christian. Because, buddy, the going's going to get rough. Read Revelation chapter 4 all the way through the rest of it. It's how rough it's going to get. Hailstone's the weight of a talent. The talent's 90 pounds. How do you think things will survive? You believe that, preacher? I believe it. It says they're going to be coming down from God out of heaven in 90-pound hailstones. Let one of them hit your house. Let one of them hit your car. It won't be a little... The car salesman, Stephen, you won't be able to have no dent and scratch sales then. Had one not too long ago after all the hail. Dent and scratch because it bothered. The hail pinged those cars. I had to sell them. They'll be gone. 90 pounds won't be any. But we won't be here. Somebody else can deal with that. Because I'm going home. Praise the Lord. You know what? The day I got saved, the die was cast in my heart. Unalterable, unchangeable. I'm going to end up in heaven. That's just as sure as I'm standing here. Let's stand together this morning.